Well, first of all, I would like to welcome two special visitors, special guests we have with us this morning. We have Sister Mary Jerome and we have Sister Jackie Jean-Marie of the Daughters of St. Paul, who are visiting Ville Platte. They've been here during the week, visiting Sacred Heart School in our parish. One of them will be speaking at the end of Mass about the mission of the Daughters of St. Paul. They're also selling some wonderful Catholic materials after Mass, a good way to begin preparations in Advent as we begin to celebrate the Christmas season. So please give them a welcome as you visit with them after Mass. For us to fully appreciate the parable that Christ just gave us, we have to look at what that word talent meant to his first century hearers. The word talent comes from the Greek word talenton, which was the largest unit of currency in ancient times. A talent would have been equal to about 6,000 drachmas, and one drachma would have been a full day's wages. So that kind of gives you a little idea about how much this was worth. This would be worth tens of thousands of dollars to us today. It could be anywhere between $10,000 to $15,000 or $20,000. A talent was kind of like a gold brick for us, and it was the same thing for them. It was either done in gold or silver, in a brick or a disc. So the point of the parable was that this was a very wealthy man we're talking about in the Gospels. Okay, this master was extremely wealthy, but he was also very trusting in entrusting his wealth to his servants. Now, we use the word talent in a very different way in modern English. When we speak about talents, we're talking about a gift or an ability that somebody may have. It's a gift or an ability which is of great value. Now, there are basic gifts, basic talents that have been entrusted by the Master, God Himself, to each and every one of us. Gifts, talents that we all hold in common. First of all, we have that gift of life, right? We have the gift of life, natural life that we have in this world, and the supernatural life that carries us through this world into eternal life. So natural life and supernatural by the death and resurrection of Christ. With that comes the gifts of faith, of hope, and of love. Abilities that we have to love God, to worship God, to put our hope in Him, and of course to have faith in and to love one another. So these are all things that we have in common. How we work out our salvation, the callings that we have received to priesthood, religious life, married life, etc., the abilities that we possess, these things vary. All of us have different gifts and talents that we can use for the good of others. Some are good with woodworking, some are good at music, some are good at speaking abilities or teaching, whatever it is, there are all these different abilities that we have and we possess. These things vary, as did the talents of the servants in the parable. But gifts and talents given to each of us, nevertheless, by God, to serve Him and to serve one another. Now, let's go a step further. Let's kind of imagine that there was another servant in the parable. A servant who was entrusted with the master's talents, but instead of investing or hiding it, spends everything on himself. Now, if the one who hid the talent gets thrown out of outside, okay, loses his job and is no longer part of the household, what do you think the outcome would be for one who would take the talent and use it on himself? Probably even worse than the one who hid it. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Do not waste time. It is the stuff that life is made of." Do not waste time. It is the stuff that life is made of. And he's right. Let's speak about life, that gift entrusted to us by God. Some of us in this congregation have many, many years ahead of us, and some of us, not quite so many. Now, every day has 24 hours in it, and on average, we use about 16 to 17 of those hours awake. Okay, if we sleep 7 to 8 hours a night, we've got 16 to 17 waking hours out of each 24-hour day. Now, that gives us between 960 to over 1,000 minutes every day. So 960 to 1,000 minutes every day. Question is, how are we spending each hour? How are we spending each minute? Franklin also asked himself a question at the start of each day. This comes from his autobiography. He started every day by asking, "What good shall I accomplish this day? What good shall I accomplish this day?" Now, here are a few things that take only about 30 minutes out of your 960 to 1,000 minutes of every day. You can pray 2 rosaries in a half an hour. Or if you do it really well and really concentrate, 1 good rosary in a half an hour. You could also pray the way of the cross in a half an hour. You can make a daily mass in half an hour. Now, there are things that would take even less time, like just coming into church for a 10-minute visit before the Blessed Sacrament, or a quiet meditation on the gospel of the day. Now, we keep telling ourselves that we have no time for important things, but if we were to, like Benjamin Franklin, examine every day, we would find that the fact is we certainly waste a lot of time. And we do. If we're honest, I know I do that, and I'm guilty as well. We waste so much time, we waste so much life. And what do we waste it with? The things that only this world can offer us. We waste our lives, we waste our time with earthly pleasures, with earthly pursuits, with earthly pastimes. We make time for recreation and for entertainment. We have no problem with that. Now, not that these things are bad in and of themselves, but when that's all that we do, and we choose these things over acts of devotion, acts of prayer, acts of sacrifice, when we fail to perform works of charity, giving our time, using our abilities to serve God and serve other people, then what we're doing is stealing and wasting that precious time, that precious life that God gave us, the talents God gave us, the time that makes up the life that is, as I said, such a precious gift. Let's look at it this way. Catholics are constantly being asked by their pastors, their parishes, schools, and Catholic organizations for members, for help, for volunteers. In our own parish, we might ask for choir members and musicians, people to serve as lectors, lay ministers of the Eucharist, servers, ushers. And people say, "I'm too ashamed, I'm too embarrassed, or unworthy of that." Well, none of us is worthy, but why be ashamed or embarrassed? There are even some people who are too embarrassed to simply bring up the bread and wine at the offertory time. Now, why? Why are we so hesitant in doing things to glorify God? There's no reason for that. The first reading from the book of Proverbs describes a worthy wife. And what does she do? She wakes up early in the morning, she goes to bed late at night, but she spends her day in doing good for her family, in service to her husband, service to her family. She's always working very hard, using her gifts and talents, and she realizes that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a reward for her labor, as Proverbs says. Let her works praise her at the city gates. Now, likewise, we as the church are known as the body of Christ, but we are also the bride of Christ. So that description in Proverbs really should be describing us as the spouse of Christ. Always doing good, always looking for opportunities to please our spouse, to please Christ. Not wasting time, and yet we do. We waste time. We procrastinate or we put off important duties thinking, "Oh, well, I'll have time to do that later." Really? We don't know. None of us is promised the next day, much less the next hour. And St. Paul talked about that in the second reading in his letter to the Thessalonians, saying that we are children of the light and children of the day, not of the night or darkness. So let's not be asleep and put things off, but stay awake and be sober, and be about doing what Christ calls us to do in love and service and prayer, adoration, worship, so that we don't get caught when death comes or Christ returns like a thief in the night. Once we find ourselves dead and in purgatory, all these pleasures that we enjoy all the time, the earthly pleasures, all the earthly pastimes, the earthly pursuits, the wealth that we gather, etc., those things that have nothing to do with faith or hope or charity, those things will bring us no consolation at all. In fact, it's going to increase our pain in purgatory, all that we've wasted. They bring no good, they bring no consolation here on earth. They bring no profit for others, no profit for ourselves. So it is a tremendous waste. I said that Benjamin Franklin began every day with that question, what good shall I do this day? Maybe we should do the same thing. And likewise do what he would do at the end of the day, and that is to ask, what good have I done this day? What good did I do that could have been done better? Or what have I done that I should not have done at all? And make a resolution to improve and certainly be vehicles of God's grace, using everything at our disposal, our faith, our hope, our love, our gifts, our abilities, our talents, not out of waste, but out of grace instead. You and I shall pass this way but once. Therefore, all the good that we can do, let's do it now. We're not going to pass this way again. Once you and I have passed this world, we're going to be judged by God, and we'll be judged by what we have done and also by what we have not done. May we live our lives to the fullest. May we live everything that God gave us and use our abilities to the fullest, not in the earthly sense, but in a sacred, holy sense, the Christian way. So that when we enter into God's presence, we may hear those blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's joy."